The Burt Show.
Here's why, if you're a guy, you have to listen to The Burt Show. Yesterday, the 9 o'clock hour, sometimes I feel like when Jeff and I are sitting in here and we're listening to you women, that you are tearing out a page just of the women's playbook and you're giving it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel special because I have insight that other guys don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was fascinating. The women on the show told us yesterday that they can not compete, just check other women will check other women's specific body parts out based on how insecure a woman is about her own body part.
Yeah, I don't like a region of my body, so I naturally just look at other women in that same region because it's like a comparison. It's like either, oh, somebody's worse than me, so you feel better about yourself, or, oh, could I achieve that? I wonder what mm-hmm. she does in order to achieve that, you mm-hmm. know? So you envy, you know, you just kind of keep your... I don't know. It's just kind of gauge yourself based on how other women have that part, you know, how it's doing.
Intern Joanna told us yesterday she doesn't like her thighs. Not at all. So she checks out other women's thighs, and she's jealous of other women's thighs.
There's a lot of body parts like that that you check mm-hmm. out on women.
It was fascinating because as guys, we'll look at other dudes and make a general, like, he looks good or he doesn't.
Yep.
But we don't ever specifically go, wow, Jeff's chest, I wish I had that.
Well, I would really love... Bird's triceps.
I think it's how you're judged. I think it's what you're judged on. And women are always judged on how they look. Always. By other mm-hmm. women, by men, always. We are judged, everywhere by the way we look. And so that's always top of mind. We know what our worst areas are. We're looking at other women, and that's the worst area to kind of get maybe some ideas on how what to do and what it could look like, whatever. Because, a guy has to have a similar thing. I don't know whether it's the car you drive or what you the money you make or whatever, and you're always gauging other guys and judging them on the same. So it's the same mentality, it's just a different thing you're doing it with.
And I was listening to this yesterday as a guy, it opened up this whole, like, I had no idea. I had no idea women did that. And then, Jen, it was only a 5-second clip. It was so refreshing for me to hear, but you could see as the words were coming out of her mouth how uneasy she was getting when she said this.
No, I don't worry about my ass, so I don't look at other people's asses.
Okay. So you think you have a nice ass?
I do.
All right. She said it. She said she had a nice ass.
Well, like Melissa said, nobody ever talks like that because it does seem arrogant. Mm-hmm. And it does seem, self-serving or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I was, trying to say that. It's just... We were talking about the parts that we can bear. But I loathe my thighs. I loathe the way my breasts
stop.
Look.
Stop you know right there.
Saying?
Because you're justifying feeling good about one area by ripping on yourself for another.
So you can't do that when you call up. You can't go, okay, well, I don't look at my boobs or my arms or anything, but I've got really, really nice legs.
And I agree, Jen, I don't think you need to say anything else because I do think
this
as
is the refreshing
woman,
part.
We can't do it.
Right.
You're justifying. You are. Stop.
I'm just saying.
No, don't.
Wait, can I explain it, please?
No.
Because I don't want to sound like an arrogant jerk.
No, what we're saying is you don't. Like, it's so refreshing because what you have told us is that women, your entire lives are beat up. And you beat yourselves up on how you look. You're always so insecure about it, you'll find the one flaw.
Right.
That when a woman publicly says what she said yesterday, you saying that you have a nice ass, that is so refreshing because you've never been allowed to actually say it before.
But wait, just let me say this thing.
But then when
it's
you
so
come
unnatural.
Back and you say that you have other body parts that are bad, which makes up for your nice ass, it takes away from the specialness of you being proud
so
of
the
it.
You're being self-deprecating. So
you can't say that.
Why can I not just say that I hate my arms and everything?
No, you ruined it.
And that, to me, when you talk about guys and this rule book for women and everything in Patreon Morning, she rattled off at least five or six things that she doesn't like because she feels so bad about saying the arrogant
right.
about one.
And that was my point today.
And that's
is
what
that,
a woman, so as a woman's brain works, is we would rather be self-deprecating than brag about ourselves.
When you take the calls, then I think the first thing to call out of the caller's mouth needs to be their name
mm-hmm.
and what they like, and you need to be prepared to hang up on them.
Yeah, because we...
Because it just, so it right. just needs to be
agreed.
Like, hi, my name is Wendy, and I've got fantastic arms.
Click.
Yep.
You
That's
can't
it.
Come on here and go, look, I don't
you
like the way my breasts look
it.
Or my boot, right. you know, or my butt, but man, my legs are awesome. You
all
can't
right,
do that.
All right, so we have to go around the room and do it first.
Okay.
I
think she's right. You got to lead by
anything.
Example.
I can't really brag about anything.
Come on, Wendy.
There's got to be
Wendy.
Something
Come
about
on.
You physically that you think looks
Come
good.
Come on, girl. Brag.
Say it.
Brag it. Say
I
it.
Don't have any, I
See?
Really
say
don't have anything
it.
To brag
it's
about.
Difficult.
Do it.
I
really
do.
Don't. I
Come
really
on.
Don't.
How about your anything?
Come on.
Eyebrows.
Come on.
Teeth?
Something.
I love the way my eyes look.
Okay.
There we go.
Are you just saying that?
Yeah.
Say, my name is Wendy and I have beautiful eyes.
My name is Wendy and I have beautiful eyes.
See?
But inside she's going, but I don't like my ass or my boobs.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Melissa, I will say it. I am Melissa Carter and my legs will rock your world.
Now I think we need to make Jen do it again because she couldn't do it earlier.
Go ahead, Jen.
Come on, Jen.
Go for it.
It's so uncomfortable. I'm sweating right now.
I know. Take this off.
My name is Jen Hobby, and I like my ass.
Yes. There you go. All
right. 404-741-Q100.
All these save that, right? I mean, there are hundreds of them.
Come on.
I have a great butt.
Come on, Jessica. Yell it. Enter Jessica. Come on, say it.
Jessica, get up here. Come on.
It'll be liberating for women.
It'll be liberating. Do it.
My name is Jessica, and I love my boobs.
Sarah, go ahead. You're awesome. On Q100.
Hey, love you. My name is Sarah, and I have great breasts.
Nice.
All right. Way to go, Sarah.
You got to own it. Rosie, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hi. Starting, I guess, from the top.
Here we go. All right.
I like
Rosie.
First, I am a married mother of three. Mm-hmm. My oldest child is 4 years old, so my kids are, like, you know, I pop them out every year and a half.
So here comes some of the justification, but just bring
it. Say
it. But I have gorgeous hair. Mm-hmm. I'm built like most Puerto Rican women. I'm Puerto Rican. Yeah. I have a tiny waist. I have voluptuous hips. Excuse me. And my ass is absolutely fabulous. And my legs are killer. I have killer legs.
Very nice.
Perfect.
That's awesome.
Bye-bye, kitty cat. Good morning, Joy. Go ahead, Bragg. Say it.
Good morning. I am fabulous from head to toe, and I love my boobs.
Yes! Atta girl.
And I love that you love your boobs.
Say that.
Hey, Tiffany, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, Burt Show. Morning. I just want to say that I love my hair, and my boobs are fabulous.
There you go.
Jenny, awesome. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jenny, and I have a delicious, spankable butt.
There you go.
Nice.
She's delicious, spankable butt. Yes, yeah, ma'am. Girl. Yes, you get it.
Hey, put her on hold for a minute.
No.
Stop.
April, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hi, my name is April, and I have legs that just won't quit.
Good girl.
All right. Nice. Good job.
Never been done before.
Hey, let's get Tracy down here to do it.
Yeah.
Poor Tracy's pregnant right now, and she just doesn't feel great about herself. But she needs it more than anybody else.
She should feel great about herself. She is growing a human being inside of her. That's the most beautiful thing that you can do.
My name is Tracy, and I love my fetus. I've got the best-looking fetus.
She has gorgeous big boobs right now, too. I'm totally jealous of her boobs.
Erin, good morning. You're on Q100. Yellow.
Hello, this is Karen, and I have the most awesome strawberry blonde hair.
Good for you.
Beautiful. All right, good job.
You're beautiful.
Tiffany, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a phenomenal ass.
Good job.
Yes. Phenomenal.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, girl.
Yes, you can.
Jeff, on the overall scale of compliments, does fabulous, what'd she say?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal or spankable get higher rank in a guy's world?
Yeah, the spankable one is gonna get you more guys checking it out. Because like a fabulous ass, that's cool. A spankable ass, let me see what one of them looks like. And it's only because it's rare. It's like an albino something. You know what I mean? You don't see it often. So when you do, you're like,
wow, that's spankable.
Wow, that is a good looking thing right there.
The Burt Show.
We want to offer up the voice disguiser here. We'll disguise your voice and we'll never mention your child's name. But we're really curious here. If you have a son or a daughter that is in middle school right now, mm-hmm. what we'd like you to try is to go get their cell phone and turn it on and scroll through the texts and tell us what you find. Because right. more and more you're hearing stories now in the news of sexting going on and kids getting in trouble for it, kids getting arrested for it, mm-hmm. kids getting kicked out of school for it.
Right.
And if you're not in touch with it, you probably think you're in middle school. No problem. Mm-hmm. No, come on, not mine. grab the phone, give us a call, and we want to scroll through those texts with you and see what you find.
Yeah, because there's a news story out this morning about students in a middle school at Orange County, California. 10 students total. It all started when a 14-year-old girl sent a nude picture of herself to a friend, then that friend sent it on to other people. So the 10 students involved in the sexting got in-house suspensions. No charges expected, but they said this is on the heels of that recent survey that said 1 in 5 teenagers have sent nude pictures of themselves somewhere.
So listen to that stat. Listen to that stat. One in five of you have kids in this age range, and you think, no problem, they're just using it to communicate back and forth with you or with their friends. You know, what are you guys doing later on? 1 in 5 are sending pictures or doing the whole nude pictures or the sexting thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's been such a big issue with Jen Hobby's mom, because she's a teacher also, that she's had to, like, talk to the class about it.
Yeah, my mom's in education in Florida. She's a middle school principal, actually, and had to have a lecture with her 7th and 8th graders and got them all in sort of an assembly thing and, you know, started this conversation about sexting because she said, you know, how many of you in the room have a cell phone? Everybody's like all excited, raise their hand. Oh, me, you know. How many of you, you know, text message on your cell phone? Everybody raise their hand. And then she said, if I collected your cell phones right now, how many of you have something on there that you wouldn't want me to see? And the whole room fell silent.
Yeah, I bet.
And, you know.
Except for one kid who was like, oh, me. Oh. You tricked us!
Hey! And she said they had to have this whole talk about the, you know, sexting and, you know, sending those pictures and all that kind of stuff and the legal ramifications of it all. I guess in Florida they've had, or maybe in Tampa it was, they've had a lot of relationships busted between teachers and students over texting and sexting and that kind of thing. And I think it's been a really big, you know, kind of a hot topic in Florida because of these news stories going on and because of, you know, teachers getting busted locally for dating students. I think one woman was dating like an 8th grader or something like that. She was an 8th grade teacher or something. Anyway, so it's been a big topic of discussion. And I think that, you know, parents are kind of naive to this whole thing.
Good morning, Q100. Destiny.
Hello.
Hey, Destiny.
My mom actually told me this, like, yesterday, that now you can actually view your child's text messages on the internet.
Yeah, and they post them up there with naked pictures of themselves.
You mean you can get, like, a certain account with
your
provider? I guess.
I don't really know. My mom said that you can view them for the past month.
Really?
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay, well, that doesn't really apply to you. I mean...
Well, it still does because I'm still, like, under my mom, and she pays my bill and everything. Well,
so when she told you that she could check your text, did that freak you out?
It did, and she was excited about it, and I was like, oh, great.
Was there anything that you text over the last 30 days when she told you that? You're like, oh, no, if she checked the last month, busted.
No, actually not, but my sister's pretty much freaking out, and she's like, I'm pretty much... screwed, and I was like, oh.
How old is your sister?
She's 17.
And what's on her phone that she's afraid your mom's going to see?
I have no clue.
You're probably better off that way anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
God, I would so use that tactic with a kid.
Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, you know what? There is a website.
Right, even if there's not.
Yeah. Well, there's no website
there's
like
no
that.
There's no website like that. Mom got her.
I know everything.
Smart mom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Good morning. Gosh, I want that lady to call back so bad. I want to know.
I know. She got right to the part where she was about to tell us what was on the phone. And
yeah, it's like the biggest build-up for the biggest letdown.
Maybe she should call us back from her son's cell phone. It appears to be coming back.
I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I have checked her phone before. I didn't find any nude pictures or anything, but I did find some wordage that I didn't like very much. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, I don't think there is a debate. You take your kid's stuff and you check it. I have her password on MySpace. I have everything.
I'm with you. You know, I went to school with plenty of kids whose parents thought they were angels. They were getting good grades. They were coming home on time. And everything seemed fine. But I know that 2 hours before that, they were doing crazy, crazy stuff that their parents had no idea about. Coke, drinking crazy amounts of alcohol, taking cars, and their parents just thought they were angels. Just angels. And with my experience, I'm looking at Hayden now, and he seems like such an angel to me. Doesn't matter to me. I'm still checking Facebook, MySpace, whatever's going to be available to him in a couple of years,
but
his cell phone also.
I'm channeling myself as a kid. And I'm going to preface this by saying I was in the talented and gifted program, so this might not apply to everyone.
Oh.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, Jesus.
If my parents had my passwords and stuff, you know, like Facebook or MySpace or whatever.
I cannot take you seriously.
I can't either.
Why?
I just can't.
I know. I've been dealing with the jealousy for years, ever since fourth grade, since I had the special classes. So if my parents had my Facebook or MySpace password, I would just create a different account. Don't you think the majority of kids are
doing
that?
Well, that's what I thought. If a parent, because I would try to be more of a sneaky parent. I got to be honest with you. I got to be where I would be checking them and they didn't know I was checking them.
You got to be way more covert now.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
you can buy stuff, right, that you put on your computer and it records passwords and captured screens
because,
and whatever.
I totally agree with you. If Millie Pete had all my passwords and I was trying to sneak around, I would create different accounts.
Hey, Kelly, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I found the nude pictures on my daughter's phone.
Okay.
How
old
is she?
Of her?
Yes, 15 years old.
And you found them of her. So she was sending these out to somebody else?
Yeah, but the thing is, I'd always check text messages, and I went into all of her pictures. That's where I found it. She was deleting her messages.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the pictures in her pictures, and... you know, I didn't think to go through, scroll through all these pictures. She's 15. She's had her phone for quite a while. I've always trusted her as far as that because I honestly don't believe she's sexually active yet because I keep really close. I mean, she's not able to do anything hardly. I keep a close watch on her. But that made me realize just how, you know,
Melissa, why are you shaking your head like
I was about things. And things totally have changed in our house. We've had to have... you know, sit down, family meeting. Mom, I'm divorced, but Dad got involved finally and had to have some long talks. And she's been through a lot of stuff over the last couple months after this. But we're totally worried because of what the future might hold for her as far as where these pictures could have ended up. Because she's a talented kid that's going to try out for American Idol. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening.
Yeah, a lot of those American Idol kids don't have a squeaky clean past either. What were you shaking your head about?
I was shaking my head just because, I mean, not to disrespect her as a mother, but I do think her daughter is sexually active, and I think the fact that she made it more strict in the house has just secured that. I know, you know, there's a fine balance in parenting of not being too strict, because when you're too strict, you're gonna have the opposite effect of what you want on your kid.
Can you assume that if your kid has naked pictures of herself on her phone, that she is sexually active and she's telling you that she's not?
Or she's months away from being sexually
active. She's real close.
On some level.
I mean, that's being sexually active right there, right? Even sending nude pictures?
Yeah. Having sex is not just, that's not the only sexual activity that you can participate in.
And I think it depends on what those pictures look like, too. If she's in a sexy pose... and she's, you know, strutting her stuff, then yes, she's sexually active.
Hey, David, you're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have two middle schoolers, one in eighth grade, one in seventh grade. My daughter's in seventh grade, and she's 13. She got a picture text message last week. A young man sent her a picture text of his hands. Well, in the message after the picture text was, it looks like parts of your female anatomy need to be held. And she texted him back and said, please don't send this type stuff to me. And he just berated her back with several things of, just nasty F-bombs and, you know, calling her a bitch and all this kind of stuff. And we were just, we couldn't believe it. And we actually stumbled on it by accident because my daughter left her phone in my wife's car. We don't allow Facebook. We don't allow MySpace. And to all the parents out there, if you have middle schoolers, definitely check your kids' stuff. I mean, I'm old school. I'm 41 years old, and we're definitely checking our kids' stuff, and it's more of a protection thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just we asked my daughter. It's like, what, you know, are you sending these kind of texts back? And she said no. You've got to protect your kids.
Thanks for calling. All right, one more, and then we'll move on. I think we're getting the same.
She's got a Facebook page somewhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's got a MySpace page somewhere.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Kelly, you're on
Q100. Hey, I caught my 16-year-old. He had gotten in trouble, and I took his phone and was just scrolling through the messages. I found out he was smoking pot. I found out he was drinking. And this has been like 3 months, and he has not left the house in 3 months.
Is that right? I mean, look, here's what the stats are showing you now. One in five
Yes, one in five teenagers has sent a nude or semi-nude picture to somebody. Oh. One in five. They say, I mean, in a third of 20-something. So, but when you're 20-something, you're an adult.
And nine
one
out
in five teenagers.
And 9 out of 10 parents think it can't be their kid.
Get it? The Bird Show.
What's going on, Andre? How you doing, man?
Well, I'm all right. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing okay, man. So what's been going on in your world, man?
A lot. Class of 3000 right now. You know, been ready to put this thing on stage and see Class of 3000, which was the animated show. A lot of people know about that, you know, through their kids. Class of 3000 is an animated show that was on Cartoon Network. The premise is this music superstar, which is voiced by myself, he leaves the business and comes back home to Atlanta, Georgia. And at the same time, there's these kids at a performing arts school, and they decide, hey, why don't we get this superstar? His name is Sonny Bridges. Why don't we get him to be our music teacher? And so they devise a plan to get him to come and teach at their school, and that's the basis of the whole animated show. And so the Alliance Theater has taken that, and they're putting it on stage. So you actually have real people playing these children, and it is hilarious to see, like, these grown people playing kids and embodying a cartoon character.
Now, the Alliance Theater is responsible for getting The Color Purple up to Broadway. Is that something that you are hopeful for Class of 3000?
Well, I want it to go as far as it can go. If it goes, I'd love it. You know, that'd be great.
You seem to have, like, this creative ADD to me. Like, you're always trying to stretch it a little bit, and I don't want to use the word bored, but you always are always stretching yourself a little in so many different areas, and everything that you seem to touch just seems to be successful.
Well, thank you. And it's funny you say that. It is kind of, you know, like a creative ADD, because it's I have to keep myself excited in a way. You know, I have to kind of keep myself alive. So, you know, I always kind of start things saying, oh, this would be cool. You know, I seldom start anything and say, oh, man, this would make great money. You know, so it's like just ideas. You just try them out, and sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. It's all about trying it, you know.
Whose idea was it to go and put Class of 3000 as a live show?
This was the Alliance Theater.
That's awesome.
You know, they were looking for something to put on stage for their kids, and they felt like it was a perfect marriage. You know, the show took place in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. It was about music, and of course, you know, music, education, and just the arts in school, you know, is kind of dying out right now. They just felt like it was a perfect thing to do, so they contacted Cartoon Network and got me involved. It's amazing.
It's a great concept. You know, people are going to be curious what's going on with you and Outkast, because people love to say that the band's not happening anymore, that you guys are done. So why don't you set the record straight?
Well, right now we're concentrating on what we always record music, man. Right now we're concentrating on these solo albums, and maybe there will be another Outkast album. We really don't know. It's all about, you know, how do you feel at the time, to be honest. And, you know, we're kind of getting up there in age. I know I'm only 33 when it comes to music. That's like a hip-hop uncle. But, you know, it's like, you know, you're always trying to, you know, keep yourself excited. So right now I'm just concentrating on, you know, what I feel that's really important. And so I have songs that I really feel like, you know, people need to hear. And Big Boy has songs that he feels like people need to hear right now. You know, I go by the studio and check Big Boy out all the time and see what's going on. You know, so it's always, you know, a love kind of thing. But I think, you know, people have to just, you know, realize that it's almost like you growing up in the same house with a brother. And eventually, you know, you have to go out and get your own house and family, you know. And I think a lot of times, because people have seen you together for so long, you know, it may seem odd if you go out and, you know, do your own thing. But, you know, I welcome it all. But it's all good music, man. And then, you know, hopefully we will do another Outkast album.
I want to be clear on something.
On the vibe.
I want to be totally clear on something here. So you're saying you're open to an Outkast album, but there's always the chance that that's never going to happen again.
Yeah, it's always. I might not even put out an album. You really don't know. It all depends on how you feel. You know, when we started it, it was just something that, you know, we loved to do out of high school. You know, it was never like, you know, okay, we got to do this or we got to do that. You know, it's just however you feel at the time.
Does quote unquote Outkast just feel like a muscle that's already been flexed to you, and you're just ready to start working out in a different way now?
No, because I just feel like if we have something to say, it was always if you have something to say. That's why, I mean, if you look at the Outkast history, we never like just, you know, put out, you know, two, three albums a year, anything like that. It was always like, okay, let's do this album. Okay, we feel like we got these songs. We feel like we got something to present. Let's do it. You know, it was never like, you know, contractual. We got to do 2, 3 albums a year. Okay, let's go ahead and just try to make it, you know. It was always like, okay, what do you have to say right now? What do you want to present right now? So, you know, I don't want to, you know, just feed people some mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always open, you know.
Well, Andre, I love your feature on the John Legend Greenlight song. I want to know how that came about, you working with John Legend.
Really, it was a blessing because the song was done. You know, John had done his part. You know, he sang the Give Me the Green Light part. And the producer of the song, who actually is from Atlanta, he was in the studio and he let me hear the song. And I was like, oh, man, this is something totally different for John. And I felt like it was, you know, such a departure from what he's known to do, you know, mm-hmm. from just sitting behind the piano and, you know, singing these great songs. It was kind of like an upbeat jam, and I liked the song. And so I said, hey, I got something for it. And so he said, yeah, sure, come on in. And so I put down, you know, my little bridge part, and then put down, you know, the little lyric rap part. And it just turned out to be what it is now.
So you did not freestyle that?
I freestyled the end of it, the tail end.
I want to play this for you guys, if you don't know what we're talking
about. If you can hear, it kind of goes... I think it starts when, I don't remember. So y'all get to asking people about lyrics and they
can't.
But it's like what you do when you're in the studio, you have prepared pieces and it's supposed to end, but you're excited. So you just kind of keep going and you just make up stuff. Cool. So you can kind of tell when it starts to freestyle because, you know, the rhythm pattern is kind of just, you know, more primitive and you just kind of just throwing like words out. And it starts to sound like a freestyle, and then I just let them know, hey, that was just a freestyle. So, no, the whole thing is not a freestyle. So, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I made up the whole thing completely. A lot of people will do that, but I ain't going to lie to you like that.
Then the next question would be, okay, freestyle something for us right now. As good as that. Go.
Oh, man, I could not do that. This is too early.
What's funny is
I'm not even a great freestyle like Big Boy. Now, Big Boy will freestyle you all day long, but I'm more of a writer, to be honest. And when I did that, it was more just like a having fun kind of thing.
It's a brilliant piece of the song, and this is the clip that he's talking about. This is the John Legend song, but Andre starts to steal the show here.
So I went hard like Medusa staring at me. I told her, let's go, let's blow this lame factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want, cause you some kind of star. No, I'm a comet, I just want you, woman. Hey, if I were you, it would be me that I go home with. 3, the one and only, one thing you ain't considered. I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, we can get it. Admit it, you did it. Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding, we both going to where you living. I got you giggling like a piglet. Oh, that's the ticket. I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robert Gibbons. No, I don't know that.
We all tried spontaneously freestyling on the show one day, and we all came up with about 2 lines, and it was the worst 10 minutes of radio we've ever done in our lives.
The first one was hard. The first line.
It's brutal. Well, man, we appreciate your time, and we're going to link on up to the Alliance Theater, and we urge you guys to go check out Class of 3000. It's Andre Benjamin.
You.
And we're keeping it
thank
here
you,
in Atlanta.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Appreciate it. So contact the Alliance Theater to get tickets and come on out. Right. Bring the kids. They'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, and I've got kids, and I'm always sort of at a loss on weekends what to do with them. You can only go to Monkey Joe's so many times.
Sure.
You know? And you're sort of like searching for things to do. This is the place that's going to be safe now for the next couple of weeks at Alliance Theater.
That's
so go
right.
Check it
that's
out.
Right. So we're giving you a little time to take a nap.
There you go. All right, Andre. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, take
appreciate
care, man. Thank you.
You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, where do we even start? I mean, Wendy, we've been preaching to you now for years. Have you been on the show years?
A year now.
That the problem with you being single here is you got zero mojo. You are coming from a place, and I'm saying this lovingly. I'm not trying to come down hard on you. But the truth of the matter is this, is that you come from a place of desperation and guys can, we can smell it.
Well, and here's, I think, like I think what you need to remind Wendy is that the point is she doesn't need to be that way because she's got everything going for her that you can imagine. So that's the sentiment behind their criticism is that, hey, don't act this way because you don't need to. Right? I mean, you've got to talk to a girl in a way that you're talking to a girl. You can't talk to a girl like you talk to a guy.
Okay, let me.
So be careful with the way you word things, or else she's going to shut down and not have.
Yeah, I'm trying not
to listen to anything you have to say.
Well, Wendy's told me before that she just wants it honest. Be totally and completely honest with her. So I could either sugarcoat this, or I can be 100% and say, "Look, as a guy,
no, we're women. Sugarcoat,
Jeff,
you can. You can do honesty. Right, I'm good. Yeah. honesty, because apparently I'm desperate, but I don't even see that I'm desperate.
You come from a place of desperation, and guys know it. Am I wrong here?
You do. Based on the way you behave, and here's the, we see it, I think, more when you're not around the guys, but it always goes back to the example when we were up at the lake and we're going to the dive bar and we're like, we're leaving in 10 minutes and everybody's in the driveway with flip-flops and t-shirts and jeans or cargo shorts. And then you come down in a black dress, full makeup and heels. Like, that is a desperate move right there.
Guys can see that, and they know that you want it too much.
But well,
that
you never know we're going to meet Mr. Right.
Well, it's not going to be at that bar, and it certainly wasn't going to be at Disney World a couple of weeks ago.
You never know.
When you wore that outfit.
The point, you say that, but guess what? Like, Mr. Right, the Mr. Right who's at the bar that's built on a pier, you know what I mean, that has water underneath it, where you can actually fish while you eat. Like, that place, the guys there aren't going to be interested in a girl wearing a short black dress and heels and full makeup for other than one thing. Same thing at Disney World. Like, the people walking around Disney World in leather pants. Like, the guys who see them, like, you get... So, that right there appears to be trying too hard.
And you told us before, like, we'll have an event.
Lady,
your goal sometimes at our events is just to kiss a boy. I want to kiss boys tonight. Guys can smell that. They know. We know because you have.
Really?
It takes away your mojo entirely. If you want it too much, guys can sense that. And you want it too
less. You have to care so much less than you do.
I can't not care.
Then you have to pretend. Then you have to act.
Okay. Well, how do you pretend to not care if you care?
I don't know the answer to that one.
You have to act. You have to. This is the game that we're trying to tell you that,
God,
that
no
people
game.
Say that, oh, I don't want to play the game. I just want to be totally and completely honest. In the dating world, that doesn't work. You got to play the game.
Games are stupid. Someone's going to like you whether you play a game or not, right?
Nope.
Yes, they'll like you, but getting into it,
right?
You're not going to. You don't. Here's the deal. If you're hanging out at the bar that you can fish from, right? And you're having a good time and everything's cool. The guy who comes up and meets you there and gets your number that night and makes out with you that night and probably calls you the next day and sees you the next day is going to do the same thing to a different girl next week. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who's going to be into you, which means you got to make him dance a little. Make him hustle.
Do you remember that book that came out a couple of years ago called The Rules that everybody was so critical about? This game playing book that came out. Remember?
Wendy was in fourth grade when it came out, so she doesn't.
It was a book on basically how to get a guy by just not caring. There are certain rules. If he calls you, you don't call him back immediately. If he texts you,
that doesn't work.
That
didn't work.
You don't text back immediately.
Didn't work.
Go ahead.
It did not work.
It's a game of numbers, though.
But
Wendy.
You don't. It did work because you weeded that guy out. You don't want him. Mm-hmm. It did work. You're saying that you like we're. The cream rises to the top. Look, I am being praised like I am in church right now. What you're saying it didn't work because you didn't get the guy. The rest of us are all saying it did work because you don't want that guy.
You were a booty call for that guy.
If the guy couldn't call you back and make a relationship with you because you waited 24 hours, or not even that, 15 hours to text him back, then you don't want that guy.
But I think that goes for a phone call. Like, text is almost immediate in general.
I'm glad we're getting into this now. Because Jeff brought up a point. You know, I forget what we do on a day-to-day basis here. But when we had Phil Tarana on the show years ago.
That's what we do. We help.
That's all we can try to do, Jeff.
Look at our hearts.
Look at them extending their helping hand.
Wendy, put your hand on my chest and feel how my heart beats for you.
Phil Tarana, a couple of years ago on the show, same situation. Dude, the nicest guy in the world, heart of gold, zero game. Zero, zero, zero game. So we did this bit to where I guided him through a relationship with a girl. he was not allowed to make any decisions at all. I made all the decisions for him for how many weeks?
I mean, for whatever the period of time was, it worked perfectly for 95% of the time.
It was flawless. I was reeling her in. I mean, we were reeling her in.
And it was the first 95% because it all fell to pieces when one thing happened.
I went out of town or something like that, and he went off script.
You were unavailable.
I was unavailable, and he took matters into his own hands, and he lost the girl in like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's not a joke. Like, it was seriously a situation where...
Really? It's the same thing. It's overeager.
He would call Bert, like, on a Saturday afternoon and go, dude, she just called me and asked me if I wanted to meet her at, you know, Applebee's for drinks before we go out tonight. What do I say? And Bert would give her guidance. Well, one day, you know, Bert was doing something stupid, like playing with his kids or whatever, and couldn't take the phone call. And so Phil just said on his own, you know what? I think, you know what? Breakfast right now is a good idea. And went to breakfast with her. And whatever happened, she seriously dumped him the next day.
He made himself too available too soon.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay.
So here's what I want to do with you, okay? Jeff got this AT&T phone. Okay. I am going to give you the phone number to this phone.
Okay.
When you meet guys this weekend, you give them this phone number. Okay. They are going to think they're texting you, but they're really texting me. And I'm going to play it all weekend long. I am going to be you all weekend long.
Awesome. Okay. Any guy I meet this weekend?
Well, any guy that you're really interested in.
Okay. Okay.
That you want to reel in. I am going to be you texting all weekend long. And I'm going to show you how this is done.
So you got to give out that phone number a couple of times.
And you know what? Geez. It's all like we'll set it up with you'll put your own voicemail on there. So if they call you, Bert will set it up. So he'll have the password and everything. And so when they call you and they're like, hey, what's up, Wendy? It's Jeff. I met you last night at Five Paces, blah, 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 blah. He'll hear the message and then he will write a text back to the dude. So then I would get a text back from you that says, hey, got your voicemail. We'll try to call you tomorrow. Like. So he's playing the role of you we have the phone as long as we need it.
All right, so it starts this week.
AT&T, their heart also bleeds for you, Wendy.
Oh, man. So I can't talk to any of the dudes
I
meet?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm gonna reel them in, and then once I get them, then I will hand it over to you.
That's
but you can't
brilliant.
Get you can't get through the first couple of phases.
And you can just say...
Oh. Can we also do this when Wendy gets in a relationship and starts sexting them?
No.
Because I want to know what you would write.
And just so you know, the way it'll work is like if Bert plays it around for a couple weeks, and then you could just say, hey, I switched my number, and he'll release the men over to you, and you just say, hey, I switched my number, I got an iPhone or whatever, and boom, you're done.
Just let me get them on the boat, and you could choose to do what you want with them. You can make them a trophy, you can eat them, whatever, but I'm going to bring them in.
It's gonna be tough. It's like fishing for marlin. Like the guy, you're the captain of the boat who reels him in.
But Bert's never reeled one in.
Pulls him up.
So what am I supposed to do? Bert's never reeled a marlin in. Yeah. Great.
Hey, Brandy, go ahead. You're on Q100.
I was just going to say that guys still like the chase. And I was totally in that place last year, and I started not caring. And I got tons and tons of calls right away and just ignored them for a while. And now I'm in a long-term relationship. So.
Jen, what is your infamous line about guys and hunting?
Oh, men are hunters. Let them hunt.
You don't let them hunt.
I'm not good at that.
You jump into their truck and you say, here I am. You're a deer that jumps into the back of the truck and goes,
here, I'm already here. I'm already dead. I'm a venison burger.
They have the rope in their mouth and like, tie me to the hood.
It's already done. So here's the phone number. I will give you the phone number.
It's actually a good analogy.
What, the hunter?
I'm a deer. Yeah. The deer that jumps in the back of the truck.
Into the truck. Here I am.
What fun is that?
No, you go ahead. You put the gun away.
I mean, why put on the camouflage and all the other stuff if he's just going to jump in the back of your truck?
Yeah, why waste a bullet?
Well, at least you have something in the bag just in case you can't catch anything.
Stop covering
your... Why you want to be the just in case? You want to be the prize.
This is what we're talking about. You're coming from the desperate place.
Well, I'm looking at the positive side of
Wendy,
it.
Wendy, you deserve a guy that's willing to climb in the tree and cover himself in urine and sit there for half a day.
Yes.
What woman doesn't want that?
That's what you deserve.
I need a urine-covered man.
Wendy, I want for you a urine-soaked man. And with Bert's help, you will get one. You will get a man in camouflage.
I'm sure I will at Park Tavern.
With a bright orange hat and covered in deer urine.
I will actually, that's going to be funny because I will actually be at Park Tavern with you on Saturday.
Oh,
so you're going to be giving your phone number out and I'm going to get the text. All right, so here's the phone. You go ahead, you set up the voicemail and everything. You give the phone number out. and I will respond as Wendy for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, this could be weeks?
See how long it takes?
Oh, my God.
15 years.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.